Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. Yesterday we spoke of the God of grace that we meet here again in Genesis 3 verse 21. The text says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." And we said that the name for God here is Lord God. In Hebrew, that reads Yahweh, or Jehovah, Elohim. Yahweh speaks of God's grace, and Elohim speaks of God as the powerful Creator. If you will, God is the Creator who gives us His abundant grace, and it is His grace we want to focus on. One way to think about God's grace is like this: God gives us what we do not deserve. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. This is exactly what God does for Adam and Eve in this verse. He made garments of skin for them and clothed them. That is not what Adam and Eve deserved. They had sinned, and what they deserved was death. But here they get life. God prepares for them garments they will wear as their lives continue. Both of them will live very long lives, actually, having been clothed by God. The first man and woman have had God's grace preached to them already. We've seen that repeatedly in Genesis 3:15, that out of the seed of the woman will come one who will crush the head of Satan. But now, at Genesis 3:21, Adam and Eve visualize. They see God's grace in action. How so? Well, we see it too in a contrast. As I said, these humans deserve death, but the ones who die here are animals, not people. In order for God to make garments of skin, God had to take the skin off of the body of an animal. That meant sacrificing the beast. We do not know what animals these were. Maybe sheep? So that while Adam and Eve should have died, instead animals were killed. That's God's grace. The Lord God sacrificed animals so that men could be clothed as He lived. This is a powerful scene for Adam and Eve and for us to consider. God is teaching, and we are all His students learning. Before I say more about grace and sacrifice, etc., I want to just remind you of a couple of things. First, at this point in time, Adam and Eve are not meat eaters. They are vegetarians. They are still in the garden in Eden, not for long, but at verse 21 they are. So they do not have the practice of killing animals and eating them. For all you meat eaters out there, and I am one of you, our vegetarian friends have us here. So the next time you're out to dinner and your pizza comes loaded with sausage, burger, bacon, pepperoni, and buffalo chicken, and you look over at your friend's plate and she is eating quote-unquote pizza, smothered in things like baby spinach, artichokes, arugula, bell peppers, and red onions, be gracious and accept that's a Garden in Eden type of pizza. Aha, I just made all of you sick. Meat eaters do not feel well being confronted with all those vegetables on pizza. And vegetarians are sick to their stomach thinking of all those animal parts shedding salt and fat scattered around in all that cheese. Apologies for ruining lunch and dinner. What's that? You eat pizza for breakfast? Okay, breakfast too. The breakfast of champions. Because Adam and Eve did not eat meat, they were not used to animals being killed. Second, the purpose of the animals being killed was not so that they would be eaten. The purpose is to get the skins and make clothes for Adam and Eve. Fig leaves won't do. God wants them to have something stronger, likely covering that will hold up to the new climate they are going to encounter when God dismisses them from the garden in Eden in the next few verses. The animal skins are to be used as clothing. Okay, you can keep that in mind as we proceed. Clearly, the death of these animals sends a message to Adam and Eve. Sin has wide and deep consequences. Before sin, there was no killing of animals. Now, after sin, there is. What a difference. And it is also clear that this verse speaks of shedding of blood in sacrifice of these creatures. This speaks of the foreshadowing of Christ. And I want to tell you what I mean by that. Perhaps this is best done by giving a point-by-point explanation. So naturally, let's begin with point one. And we talked about this last time. God took the initiative to clothe Adam and Eve with animal skins. This is an act of God. This is neither an initiative nor an act of man. God is doing something here that Adam and Eve did not. God is offering them grace. This is not a grace they ask for. It is not a grace that comes as a result of some good works Adam and Eve have done to merit the grace. This is not their idea. What have they done? All they have done is to sin. All they can present to God is their sin, but the Lord God meets them with his grace. He answers sin with redemption from sin, as seen in the animals that were sacrificed, so they could be clothed, so that their sin could be covered. Point number two. While I do not want to read too much into this text, while I do not want to put something here that is not what God has said, I believe this verse definitely points to atonement, the covering of sin by blood shed from a sacrifice. For now, that is how I will define atonement, the covering of sin by blood shed from a sacrifice. This is a gracious and powerful act of God towards man and woman, an act of God that foreshadows the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross. This verse suggests that God will provide covering for man's guilty soul, even though, of course, this one verse does not spell out for us all that we will need to know about how Christ atones for our sin. Point number three. Without getting carried away, so limiting myself to just a few select scriptures, let's see how the shedding of blood, the sacrifice of these animals, points us to the requirement of blood for the forgiveness of sins. Not long ago, a very good friend who listens to this podcast asked me, why should blood be shed for anything, especially for having my sins forgiven? She was bewildered and also, I think, somewhat horrified at all this blood. Well, this is a very good question she raises, and I would like to give somewhat of a concise answer. The answer is my point number four. It is a two-part concise answer. Part one, God decided that blood is a requirement for the forgiveness of sins. And I'm not trying to be snarky. Ultimately, blood is shed. Sacrifice is made so that our sins can be forgiven because God, in his perfect wisdom, decided this will be the case. Any further inquiries on this or disagreement will have to be taken up directly with God. This is his idea. It is certainly not mine. But there is a part two, and that is how God presents his reason for doing so in the Bible. And that takes us first to the New Testament book of Hebrews. I have in mind one verse from Hebrews. This is the most concise statement I have found in the Bible that directly addresses the connection between blood shed and forgiveness of sin. I will read just part of verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 9. You can make a note of this and read it later. Near the end of the New Testament is Hebrews, and in chapter 9, verse 22, the text says, "Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." God says, "Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Hebrews 9, 22. Hebrews 9:22 is the kind of verse we really need to memorize. No blood means no forgiveness. Did you catch that? No blood means no forgiveness. I want to make certain my friend knows this verse and sees the implications of it throughout the Bible. And that takes us back, second, to the Old Testament book of Leviticus. And you can also note this and read it later. But if you happen to have your Bible there with you, turn or scroll there now. We are interested in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. There is Genesis, then Exodus, and Leviticus follows Exodus. If you go to chapter 17 and verse 11, I want to read for us just the first part of the verse. This is Leviticus 17, verse 11a. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Ah, what a crucial verse to know and to understand. Notice, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11 again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Think of how our bodies work. Think of your own body. Blood is essential because the blood carries life all throughout the inside of us. Therefore, blood represents life. Blood speaks of life. If ever you are without healthy blood, if your blood is corrupted in some way, and certainly if you are losing blood, then you will die. That's why it is useful to know how to tie a tourniquet around someone at the point of massive blood loss, say in a car accident. We want to limit the bleeding ASAP. The life of the person is in the blood. Therefore, the shedding of blood means the loss of life. Loss of blood means loss of life. Shedding of blood means death. Tomorrow, we will return, Lord willing, to Leviticus chapter 17. So you could read the whole chapter tonight if you'd like, and then I hope you'll come back and join us again tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.